This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports. Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
So Rahimi is on assignment. Marshall Harris is on assignment right now. Those two shall return to their place someday here. They will be back together on Monday. I am off Monday, guys. I will just admit this. It's a personal day. I'm going to Great America.
You mentioned it when we were talking, like, a month ago, maybe. You and I were talking about, like, things we want to do before the summer is over,
and you
mentioned Great America.
I'm not going to ride that roller coaster. I'm not going to do that.
There's been some lags. There's been a few windows where I didn't make it. I still like to go.
I haven't been in, I don't think, decades.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. I get it. A lot of people cash out there. I mean, the clientele there, it's very interesting. It's sort of like Lollapalooza, quite frankly.
No, much trashier it's than much Lollapalooza. Much trashier.
Are you a fast pass guy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't go any other way. I've earned fast pass.
Good, yeah.
I've waited in all the lines my whole career, my whole life. I am a fast pass guy, yes.
You want it to be a fast Friday, you know, and a fast focus Friday.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to this, a fast focus Friday. Dare I say fun. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Marshall is out at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention, NABJ. We have Mark Rohde here in his spot, and we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Ray Diaz, our producer, along with Robbie Triano. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. You can text us and call us 312-644-6767. And you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. We asked on Monday, is it game week, Mark Rohde? And I think, like, today we get confirmation that we might be at game day right now with the Bears starters, as we know, thanks to the Hogan Johns podcast, not playing on Sunday at noon against the Dolphins.
And it is absolutely game day, Layla, because right at this very moment, there's a joint practice going on at Hallis Hall, Bears and Dolphins, which we will get reports from throughout the day. And I think we're going to go live to Hallis Hall twice later on today, because Caleb Williams will be on the show at 1. Emma's probably going to be on the show a little bit later on. And as you said, most importantly, Caleb Williams will not be playing in the game on Sunday against the Dolphins at noon, and nor will most of the starters. So the news hit today.
Also, just so you're aware, we have Caleb Williams coming on at about 1 o'clock. It depends on his practice schedule. We know this being the most, perhaps the most important day of the week for him now because of the joint practice with the Dolphins. So that means we're going to use our time wisely with him. I want to get into him already talking about the net drill, because I know that happened yesterday. So that'll be in the next segment. But let's just start with what we know. We've been trying to figure out the answer to that question all week. You get 3 preseason games. One of them is Sunday at noon. We knew the joint practice today was going to matter. Ben Johnson telling Adam Hogue and Adam Johns what the latest is starter-wise against the Dolphins on Sunday.
It sounded like going into yesterday's off day, you were going to kind of regroup and come up with a more concrete plan for this weekend between the joint practice and the game on Sunday. Did you kind of finalize that and how you're when you're going
to
play this?
You want me to go ahead and spill the beans?
I mean, we would love it.
Yeah, okay.
The
floor is yours.
I'm sure it's going to get answered tomorrow anyways. But the thought here is there's going to be a number of guys that aren't playing in this game. I haven't even told the team this yet, but there's going to be a number of guys that aren't playing in the game. So we're going to get great work in the joint practice. We have a number of things scheduled around the game for those guys that aren't playing, whether it's the day before or the day after, where we're actually going to end up getting more reps for them than they would have had we played them week one in this game. So I'm actually really excited about that. I think the numbers as they stand right now, subject to change, are probably 9 guys on offense, 9 guys on defense that won't be playing here.
Is number 18 part of that?
He's one of those, yep.
The old 9-9, Layla.
Which leads to the next question. Who are the 2-2 who have to play?
Right.
I guess one of them is probably Jalen Johnson, so he won't be on the field, theoretically.
Right.
Or not. Is he saying it's out of the 2-2 that have been starting?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's yeah. probably a separate part of it, right? Because yeah. he says 9-9, so then I'm going, well, who's probably going to have to be out there? Would it be a guy like Luther Burden, maybe? Because he didn't have OTAs?
The guy Ozzie Trapillo, maybe?
Right.
Left tackle?
Right.
So, or do they pull a whole surprise party and have Braxton Jones in there? Be like, yep, here he
playing?
Is. Yeah.
On
yeah.
it. First game after an ankle injury, broken ankle?
That would be a surprise party, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be a shocker.
Process surprise. Of elimination.
Yeah. Surprise.
How do I feel about them not starting the starters? I think a lot of coaches do it, but I also think a lot of coaches do it because they don't want to expose their starters, especially when you know everything is new for everyone this year. You don't necessarily want to give a lot away. That is NFL 101. I always start with that thought and then go from there. So is this a coach doing what he can normally do to prevent his team from perhaps playing downs that he thinks are wasted necessarily? You know, if you're trying to install and you're not there to where you want to be yet, sure.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. It's yeah. just, this is par for the course.
I'd rather Caleb Williams was playing just because I really want to see him in as many consequential spots as possible, obviously relative to practice when I say consequential, because I do think that eventually this needs to begin to pop, and we haven't seen enough of it. So I'd rather he's playing. But at the same time, I do understand. I do get what Ben Johnson is doing, although I thought with what he has been doing with some of the strong practices that Ben Johnson has allowed, I thought maybe he would do things differently. What I did like that he said was that he is scheduled for the guys that are not playing, that they have a very specific plan around the game for the next couple of days, for the next few days leading up to it. So
yeah.
I did like him saying that.
Like, are you going to be an active clipboard holder? You know, like, are you using the clipboard to help clap, for example? Or what are the notes and what's your assignment during the game then if you're not playing as a starter? Because you've still got to absorb this offense. You still have to understand how it's going to work. You have to understand what you're going to take away from sitting while you watch the twos play in this game. And then the question becomes, how long are the twos going to play in the preseason game on Sunday against the Dolphins for the Bears? How long are the threes going to play? Is it a half and a half?
Right.
I think that's something that we've got to get down to the bottom of as well. And then he talks about the joint practices today. Well, what are you running? Are you going to run a 2-minute drill at some point during this? Is that the goal? Are you going to try to run a first drive like you would during a game? What happens in this process that will help your team moving forward to games 2 and 3 of the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, they'll set up a bunch of different scenarios. Like obviously, I haven't seen a Ben Johnson-led joint practice, and obviously Mike McDaniel as well, on the other side for the Miami Dolphins. But they will do scenarios, and it's not just like these two teams scrimmaging out there. It's, all right, let's do 2-minute drill for them. Let's do it for them. And then exercises going on another field. So it makes it very fascinating. Just kind of like choose your own adventure out there.
Well, ask and I shall receive. Thanks,
oh, yeah?
Robbie Triano, for notifying us in our group thread here. This in from Adam Hogue. Is it breaking? I say we can call it breaking. Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Tyson Bagent will start on Sunday. He will play the bulk of the first half. That from Adam Johns, saying what Ben Johnson said to him.
All right. And then Case Keenum probably after that. And it'll be interesting, man. I mean, to see Tyson Bagent play, maybe people will see a little bit of what we have seen in camp, and Tyson Bagent has been pretty good. There, to be clear, there is no threat here. There's no, Tyson Bajent. Tyson Bajent? Like, should he be? No.
There's Tyson Bajent, man.
You're allowed to like Tyson Bajent, but no, Tyson Bajent is not close to being the Bears' starting quarterback.
I also want to tell you this. We do want to hear from you today at 10:45. So call us, 312-644-6767. If you want to wait on hold until 10:45, that's about a half an hour. I don't know if that's something you want to do with us today. You're welcome to do it. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your Friday. I will say that when it comes to Tyson Bajent, the threat is either Case Keenum or it's himself. When I think of what he brings to a game, I do want to see how his arm strength or perhaps at times lack thereof is going to be creatively engineered around it. Tell me about the rollouts. You know, tell me about what you want to do play-wise that can help you. And I feel like a lot of times play design for coaches is solutions to helping cover up either weaknesses or just trying to lean into people's strengths. So I think we will still learn a lot about the offense in a game for this Bears team with Tyson Bajent as the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that you put it perfectly. Like, this is a progress report for Tyson Bajent. Like, as we know, Tyson Bajent, you know, thinks, and he should, this is the right attitude. Tyson Bajent thinks of himself as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Here's a whole half for you to go out and show the league, not the Bears necessarily, because they've got Caleb Williams, and they plan to they're playing the long game with Caleb Williams. But if he can show what you just said, a little bit more zip, you know, and not putting some balls. I mean, there are too many times, if we're really breaking down Tyson Bajan's game, too many times where he floated balls that appeared to be up for grabs, not always intercepted. Sometimes it landed in the right hands, but sometimes it did not. And I think it was obvious to anybody that the zip wasn't there.
I also want to remind everybody listening right now to Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grodian as we talk Bears, that you can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Say hello to our video team, Connor O'Donnell and Jacob Stutz, who are working there for you. The mob is in effect today, so we like to see you chatting. I know it's a show within a show, so we're happy to have you on as well. And like I said, Bears calls, I think, just because at 10:45. I also want to point this out, Mark. Trying to figure out Tyson Bajent's arm strength and what Case Keenum thinks of this offense, and perhaps I think maybe we get a more accurate look at the offense when Case Keenum will be in, because the threes practice against the ones, for example. So if that's the case, that's part of preseason. This is it. Analyzing your backups to the point of minutia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you still have to put together your special teams. And guess who you're going to probably get a nice big taste of, everybody? You ready for this? Kyle Manunga. Kyle, I would guess that the seventh round rookie will get a lot of run for the Bears, and he probably will excite us, and people will be talking about. That's it. I'm already predicting it right now here on a Friday of game week. Kyle Manungai will be the guy that we're talking about. I'm going to say he's going to have.
Who's your guy?
Who's your Manungai? Who's your Manungai? My Manungai is Manungai. I think Manungai will have 10 carries for 72 yards. He's going to rip off like a 25-yard run up the middle, like on his first or second carry.
And now it's time for Mark Grody's Bears preseason game predictions with Mark Grody.
As written down by Robbie Triano.
Who's your Manungai?
Who's your Manungai? I stole the best Manungai. My Manungai is Manungai.
What happens if your Manungai isn't Manungai?
Well, who is your Manungai? You can have who is your Manungai?
Also, Kyle Manungai. Here's why. He's doing everything the coaches are telling players that they want. You know, that's what I realized with him. He's following instructions. And let's face it, part of this is also, can you follow instructions?
Absolutely. I have another Manungai. My other Manungai?
Who's your other Manungai?
My other Manungai. For this, like a guy that you will see flash, you will see it again. You saw it last year. Anybody have a guess? He's a defensive player. He was a rookie last year.
David Eckstein.
He was... He was a defensive end. His name is Austin Booker.
Oh, yeah. We've heard his name quite a bit this week, haven't we?
Austin Booker is out there. Austin Booker is out there. He thrived in the preseason last year and kind of disappeared when it started. But remember, we were all very excited about that Manun guy last year.
We were excited about
that. We were very excited.
He was a Manun guy before we even had a Manun guy.
You're right.
How do we layer this?
I don't know. Well, do you have a Manun guy? Would you like to...
Who's
anybody?
Your Manun guy? Light him up. 312-644-6767.
Who are we going to be talking about?
My Manun guy. Seriously, I actually think this is the most appropriate thing to do for preseason.
I think you're right. No. Is Zay Frazier healthy? I don't know if Zay Frazier is healthy. If Zay Frazier is healthy, he's my third Manun guy.
My Manun guy is Zach Pickens.
Really? That's so
no,
good.
No, I'm just playing.
No, that's great because, no, that's very possible.
Not Zach. Zeke.
That's a bear for you, by the way. That was so good.
C-K.
Zach Pickens is probably a pretty good pick, man. I'm going to tell you right now. It is because a guy like that, like he's got to show something, and he has been playing with the third team defense when I have been out there.
But he's been playing because that would be an improvement.
That would be so. He is eligible to be a Manun guy. Who is your Manun guy?
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But this is the beauty of what you do. This is a lot of what the coaches are doing. They're evaluating these people. I would argue that maybe my Manun guy is Tremaine Edmonds, but I don't think he's going to be one of the two starters on defense that we see.
Right. Okay, let's get back to that because you asked the question earlier. Who would be the two starters that we would see? We know it ain't going to be Jaquan Brisker. It doesn't need to be Kevin Byard. We know Jalen Johnson, although he was spotted at Hallis Hall. It is certainly not him.
The Pro Bowler is not my concern.
Let me ask you this question. Do you consider Nashon Wright a starter for the Chicago Bears?
He's a starter in my heart.
We'll see Tyreek Stevens out there.
Oh,
it's gotta be because that's a message, right? Like, hey, you still got something to prove.
And you know what? Good. Tyreek Stevenson, funnel that energy.
There it is.
Into not doing silly things.
How you like me now? Yes. We don't want you to do
silly
things.
Your finger in somebody's mask.
No, we don't want that. We want you in the proper position because, as I said yesterday, he's still the second most talented cornerback in that room. Whether or not he gets the job, he's the second most talented cornerback in there.
That's how I feel.
He is.
He's good.
He's a talented player. He really is.
So... Well, we perhaps might play Who's Your Manun Guy?
Daniel Hardy. Daniel Hardy, a texter. That's a great Manun guy.
Okay, so save that energy for 10:45. Yeah. Ben Johnson talked about Kayla Williams to the Adams, Hogan Johns. I think we should visit that next.
Let's do it.
Also think we have to talk about the viral video that is Netgate. So we will do that coming up as well. And I think just evaluate the things that are already out there that we probably won't ask Caleb Williams because I feel like they're settled science and they're big news. So we will do that next at 10:25. Hang with us. This is Raheemi and Harris, Mark Grodian, Bears on the Score.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Raheemi, Marshall Harris, Raheemi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
To be able to see in somebody else's lens. And obviously you're not always going to be on point, not always going to be where exactly, you know, he may want you when he calls that, but that's what we're working towards. It's fun, it's challenging. We're gaining, you know, I'm gaining more knowledge and coaches gain more knowledge on me and how I play. And off the field, on the field, on the sideline in games and things like that is, you know, where it's going to be at and, you know, where we're going to keep growing.
That was Caleb Williams from his availability yesterday at Hallis Hall. A reminder, he joins us, Raheemi and Harris, with Mark Grody at 1 o'clock. We are continuing to talk about not only the fact that the Bears starters, as we heard from Ben Johnson on the Hogan Johns podcast, are not expected to play. He said 9-9, so 2 are. We're trying to figure out who they are. We're also examining just what the latest is with Caleb Williams. I know he spoke yesterday. There was a lot of discourse, as there always is, about things that people are seeing, videos that are being posted from training camp. At least the Bears aren't preventing people from posting videos. That's still something where reporters can still report. But this, I feel like, went from a simmer to a boil. The neck drill and how, because it wasn't perfect, it is now the subject of a lot of conversation. When I think what we've seen, Mark, is that the whole point of training camp for Caleb, at least, and the offense seems to be putting them in conflict so they get better. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's a big part of what Ben Johnson has been pretty transparent about, that they are throwing tons at him, see what they can handle, and then eventually you begin to pare things down. Like, today will be a big day in terms of that. Today will be a day probably where they're asking Caleb Williams, what are you comfortable with here when you go up against the Miami Dolphins? Maybe they start to pare it down just a little bit. But yeah, that's good. I mean, you gotta, as Matt Nagy would say, and I talked about this a little bit with Dan Weider on the Take the North podcast, and I hate to use this, but it's true. There is a callousing that needs to go on during a training camp to really feel it in every way, shape, and form.
Especially when the general manager said they skipped steps last year, and he saw how it hurt the team during the season.
Right. Oh, yeah, and trust me, Ben Johnson, even though he plays dumb about last year, he was prepped on everything that went down last year. So you can see him doing the opposite in some cases, like that big physical practice they had the other day with the skirmishes and guys like Brad Biggs saying it's the most physical practice. It's Platteville, basically, back in the two-a-day days. I mean, that is something for sure.
Yeah, and frustrate the heck out of this group so they don't quit during games. That's part of my issue here, and I don't think we necessarily saw that, especially later in the season, the later part of that 10-game losing streak where they were trying to hustle and make things happen late in games. The Fail Mary drive does come to mind because they were put in that position until that play happened from the Commanders. But I say all of that to say, like, you can't have a game like the Patriots last year happen again.
No.
And if this kind of practice is what prevents that from happening, then I'm good with it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and they've been pointing to this thing forever to be the practice that stands out. So hopefully that's the case here today.
Let's go back to part of that being very much, I think the purpose is to throw as much at the quarterback as possible. And the net drill that we've seen was part of it. Patrick Finley asked Caleb Williams about that viral video.
All right, so there's this video.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, some national places, I think.
They blew it up, and it is what it is.
What happened in the video?
Yeah, so it's a quick deliver drill. So you catch it, you know, you're not, you know, trying to get the laces or anything. It's not like you're going through reads, and it's just catch, deliver, and try and deliver to the bottom left corner, and we're trying to aim as if it's a screen, and so... it's a competition between us and the guys, and so how fast you can get it out, how accurate you can get it out, and you know, they just so happened to blow that one up and not any other one. So it's a fun drill to work on, you know, accuracy, not using the laces, and also just being you know, getting your feet up under you and working those throws. So
when people say it's some indication of what's happening to you at camp, what do you say about that?
I just laugh at it. It's I look at them and I laugh at them, as always. You know, we're out here working. We're getting after it. We're competing, and that's one of the drills that we were competing. And you know, we actually have a rule in our QB room is that if you miss the board, you know, you have to do some, you know, something funny or something like that, or miss the net, you have to do something funny. So we've had some competition, you know, in those areas also. So it's just, you know, something fun, something, you know, something competitive. And you know, I was competing, and it was, you know, I missed it, and you know, it was a fake anger that I had that I showed, because you know, that's what, you know, you're competing with your friends, and something like that happens, you give a little, you know, maybe a little, you know, a few words that you may say, or choice words after losing to your buddies.
There's a lot to unpack there. I think it's okay to be angry if it was real, too. The way you get better is by doing what you need to, in the words of Michael Jordan, take that personally, and then improve. So I don't necessarily mind that either. I think it's cool that they have these kind of rules and traditions among the quarterback room. I don't recall hearing stuff like that last year.
I love the way Caleb Williams handled this whole thing, the way he literally laughed it off, like that he was ready for it, that it's the first question and he's already seeming to be desirous of answering the question. I'll say this, though, in listening to it from a different perspective, or maybe when I say that just for like the fifth or sixth time, one of the things that Caleb Williams did tell us very specifically earlier in camp is that he's struggling with sometimes with short passes to the left. Remember that? That he's told us that. And then we saw, then subsequently we saw him throwing behind guys, like literally the next day. This he was throwing to the bottom left corner, as he talked about in this one. So if you want to be conspiracy theory and be like, oh, well, that's an area where he's still struggling just a little bit. But obviously, it's a completely different thing.
You don't think that there can be parallels drawn?
I mean, that was the exercise, or there was a reason for it. But, you know, the fact that it was blown up and turned into something that it was, because I didn't read all the comments. I'm sure it was Caleb Williams sucks, right? Was that the theme of it, I'm assuming, because he was missing those shots? I'm sure that's what it was. And that's the part that's unfair in a drill.
Well, and ultimately, the drill is not an actual game.
Right.
And it's a drill. It's not practice. It's a drill. So those are two different things, in my opinion.
You can like, point it out.
It's not a padded practice. It's not a 7-on-7. It's a drill.
What I like, honestly, like if I was doing a Bears report, that probably would have been kind of a kicker thing. Like, oh, by the way, you know, Caleb Williams spotted throwing balls and struggled a little bit throwing, you know, even if that at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it's just that's a kicker to the day, as opposed to what it became, a headline.
Well, and I think it says more about how hungry people are to see the Bears and the quarterback in this particular offense. And you're not going to see it on Sunday. That's a big part of this. So the next question is, when are you going to see it? And that's what we're trying to figure out. We also have this from Ben Johnson, who spoke to the Hogan Johns podcast on where he thinks his quarterback has improved the most.
It's really twofold. It's really the same answer for both for me, because we have made immense strides from him hearing the play call and being able to get it out to the rest of the guys and us go. But at the same time, we're not where we need to be. I mean, you saw it just the other day, the delay of games are coming up, and that's something that we have to work through, because I can be a little bit more concise and clear with the play calls to him in those settings. That was our first time on the actual stadium speaker to quarterback, to the green dot deal, and it wasn't quite the same as what we've been doing in practice. And so that's where we're gonna work through that issue, and we're gonna be just fine. But we can't allow the pre-snap stuff to affect what's going on, with whether it's penalties or whether it's we got guys not quite sure of their job assignment, thing like that. So we have made significant strides. We're not ready for prime time quite yet, though.
Man. What's your level of panic or concern or attention when you hear that?
I think that's a truth right there. It's just, he's just being a truth teller at this point. I mean, he's not ready for prime time, and that's actually okay. There's still three preseason games to go. Joint practice today. So you do have time. I'm going to go ahead and make a leap of faith that he's going to clean up that pre-snap stuff, because it is the most basic of basic stuff that he should be able to hammer out. But may I remind you, too, we talked about this the other day, Layla, when Ryan Poles was on the flagship, and I still have it highlighted here in my well-transcribed handwritten notes. Now, this is Ryan Poles. Now, the fundamental piece, the operation, understanding the coverages, that's where we got to get in on this new system. And that part, he just didn't do as much in college. He's got to hit that part and continue to grow and develop and pour his time and energy into that with Ben. Got to close the gap on the football parts of this, because he has the intangibles, the special, which obviously is a football part as well. But now get this stuff down, and then he will be let loose, I feel like.
Talking Bears and Caleb Williams and Bears practice, join practices today with Mark Grody on the Raheem and Harris Show on 670 The Score. We also remind you that you can call in our next segment. You can go ahead, 312-644-6767. Our Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I agree. I think the bigger concern is this is what has to happen right now in order for this to look better later. This is the solution, and unfortunately, maybe the timing isn't great. Maybe you wanted to be farther along by August 8th. But at the same time, this is what repeating a year looks like.
Yeah.
This is what repeating the grade of development, repeating the rookie season looks like because of what happened last year.
And being under center a lot more, you know, just different demands and, as you said, different calls. So, hey, like I've said all along, it all has to go into the batter when we talk about how we evaluate Caleb Williams. What we see, what we know is not happening, but that also has to be married with last year may have stunted some of his growth, and everything is new and certainly, thankfully, more complicated this year.
Well, and I know we want to take calls in our next segment, but also Dan Weterer got some time with Caleb Williams, similar to what we're going to get, and I think he's been making the rounds. I think that's appropriate. It's cool that he's spreading the ball around, if you will, yeah, to the various media outlets. But there's something that Dan asked him about that connects to what you just said, Mark. So I feel like we have to take a break. We'll do it on the other side. But you can also chime in, text us, call us, hang out on Twitch. 312-644-6767. This is a default Bears preseason game day. Let's join in on The Score.
Bears.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We certainly have goals that we strive for. It's not a secret. I told him I would love for him on the season to complete 70% of his balls. So you would like to think over the course of practice that we're completing 70% or more. That's hard to just magically arise in a game. So it's a lofty goal.
That's Ben Johnson talking about Caleb Williams, and that is a goal he set. That does not mean that that is the clear expectation. That is just what the idealized offense looks like. This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And I want to continue your thought, Mark, because our friend Dan Weedsy, who is your partner on the Take the North podcast, had the sit-down with Caleb Williams. It came out in the Chicago Tribune today. And he asks him about what we're talking about, this concept of breaking some stuff down in order to build it back up. And he said, both you and Ben have alluded to the idea that the carryover for you from year one to year two is not ideal or where you would hoped it would have might have been. How did you gain acceptance of that, the idea that, hey, we have to go backwards a little first before we make progress? His answer was as follows. Sometimes going backward isn't bad, because then you go back to the basics. And when you can start with the basics and not start with a finished product, you're still at a point where you can go back to the basics and fix a lot of things. It's like having a dog. At a certain point, you can't teach a dog how to go to the bathroom outside and be potty trained, so you better be starting that young enough. Good analogy.
Aww.
For me, at this point, we're still able to go back to the basics and fix everything we need to fix. And then I'll be able to go out there and execute when we're going to need me to be able to execute. He knows the plan. It's just, I think it's going to suck for a while personally before you see the progress. Like, you're going to have to be okay with, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Sounds good, but it's going to feel sucky.
It's going back to the basics. Like you said, he literally used the word going backwards, and he said it's good. I will say this. I get it. I understand, Layla, but I am looking forward to the going forward part, to the part where,
but I think we're all going to have to accept this.
There's a reset going on. There's a reset going on, which muddies all of the evaluation that's happening for Caleb Williams right now. But we can take every single game that he played last year as an evaluation, and some of them we can identify where it wasn't his fault, and sometimes it was his fault. And we can take everything that he did in training camp and this training camp as well. So it is, like I said, it's just a big, sloppy, I'm going to say porridge right now. It's a porridge of things that are going on with the Bears.
But I think when the coach talks, he's not just talking to his team. He's talking to us. So that's where part of this comes in. Now I want to go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We said we would take some Bears calls, and I believe we have one. Adam in Frankfurt, who's your Manung guy?
So first off, my Manung guy is Alameda Zaccheaus, who I think is going to end up being our starting slot for most of the time over Luther Burden for a while over the season. I think he's a good little athlete, great hands. So I think he's going to be valuable for our team for this year. And then I'm also super excited to watch Hippolyte. We need to get one of these linebackers that we draft to like actually show up. We see a lot of other teams having third, fourth, fifth round picks for linebackers starting over time. We need to get some of these guys. I'm really excited about Hippolyte.
I love it. You're going to see a lot of Ruben Hippolyte out there.
His strengths.
He's a Manung guy. His weaknesses, he's a Manung guy.
His strengths, he got drafted when a lot of people said he wouldn't be drafted.
He's running back for the Rutgers.
His weaknesses. Well, a lot of people didn't think Ruben Hippolyte was going to get drafted.
That is correct. I do like the Alameda Zaccheaus, but they might want to keep him pretty protected and wrapped up too, because I think he's going to be low-key a big part of things for Caleb Williams once the lights are on for real. A few texts, by the way, Layla, before we get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We got other Manung guys. My Manung guy, J.P. Richardson.
Ooh!
Oh, yeah!
Also, Adam, thank you for calling in. That was fun. Yeah, I think J.P. Richardson is a lot of people's Manung guy because
he might be the favorite right
he's
now.
He's gotten so much attention during camp. Everybody's like, oh, J.P. Richardson, J.P. Richardson. Can I yuck everybody's yum for a second?
Of course, Layla.
Can I take the fun out of this?
Yes!
You know who everybody's Manung guy was in spring training?
Yes. Was it a Rule 5 draft player?
It was.
Did Marshall Harris, the host of this show, who I'm filling in for today, love that particular player? Did he also play for the White Sox?
Yes, he did. And Cole Wright was the one who first tipped me off to this Manung guy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And?
Gage Workman.
Gage Workman! Yeah, he's a Manung guy.
This is
the, you're right.
The beauty of talent evaluation.
You remember when Gage Workman declared he was going to exact his revenge on the Cubs?
Oh yeah,
that go.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm not mad at him for playing the crowd. Like that's what happens. You completed Chicago baseball bingo when you played for both teams in succession, no less.
Yeah, so, just like Nick Madrigal.
Yes, and you know what, Mike Tauchman. So I'm okay with that club.
Tauchman.
He was so Manung guy, he was going to be the starting third baseman. Like, he was that Manung guy.
Oh my gosh, the way we were also saying his... He was the original, who's your Manung guy?
I don't even want to put Tauchman in that group, because Tauchman can at least produce.
Yeah,
also, Tauchman, he's played in multiple countries. Guy. You know, he played in the Korean League as well. Mike Tauchman hustles.
Yeah, and he's a pain in the ass at bat. I mean, counts deep, goes oppo. I love Mike.
Mike Tauchman was a meme earlier in the season when, unfortunately, he couldn't make it to home plate, and that's how the White Sox lost. And we don't even think about that much because he's got a resume.
It's like, what happened?
And he produces.
He's a local guy, Palatine founder.
My Manung guy.
By the way, my Manung guy is Kyle Manung guy. If you're trying to figure out where this came from, my Manung guy is Kyle Manung, because there's always a guy. You're going to see plenty of Kyle Manung guy out there.
Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, could DeAndre Swift be out there for the first series? Just to be like, we got to get something better than we did out of you last year, pal. Him and Tyreek Stevenson on defense, little message sending. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
217 says, can you give us a game week? Yeah, we can do that. Everybody open up your mics. Are we into it?
Today
is technically the game day if it's the joint practices.
Game week.
Game week. Game week.
Game week.
We did it.
Also, we have another caller, and I feel like we have time.
I think we should go to phones.
Pauly, you're downtown. What do you want to say to us? Pauly. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Good show. I respect you both.
Uh-oh.
Thanks.
Respect you, too.
So I was calling about why I believe Caleb Williams is going to be a short-lived quarterback in Chicago. We are all experiencing, we're all watching the changing of the guard here with this Ben Johnson. And listen, I've hated the Bears for 45 years. This year I like them because of Ben Johnson.
Wait a minute. You've hated the Bears for four? Welcome, yeah, by the way.
They didn't try. I liked it when they won the Super Bowl. But
wow. That was it. That was it for you, huh? Not even the subsequent Ditka years?
Oh, of course I love the coach. But I'm just saying they should have always been better. They should have always been better. They never spent the money properly. The initial team in the NFL, and we sucked for all those years.
Bill, I'm sorry about the last 45 years, but go on.
There was
a
Super Bowl in there, you know, in between.
Anyway, Ben Johnson, right? He's a mathematician like we just don't know, right? His brother is a genius.
Mears, yeah.
AI programmer, right? One of the top geniuses in the world.
Is he?
And football is going to the mat, so I'm trying not to ramble here. They took this tight end because he has the size, the skills, and the smarts for the position. Ben Johnson knows what plays. Football is going to be isolate your skilled guy one-on-one against a guy that's not as skilled as he is.
Got that right.
Get the ball out of Williams' hands as fast as possible so he doesn't have to make decisions. He's not tall enough. He doesn't know how to play under center. He's inaccurate down the field. He's a chaos quarterback. This is going to be structure. This is going to be timing. Tyson Bagent is perfect for this.
There it is. Yes.
Okay, Pauly. I appreciate the reasoning, and I think you did a good job trying to explain your thesis.
I think there's going to be another 45 years after you get a load of this.
I think Sunday is the day for you. I feel like you get your guy, Tyson Bagent, on Sunday. I think he has a point when it comes to seeing Caleb Williams succeed off script. But do I think that that is his only skill set? No.
No. And look, I hate the Tyson, because Tyson Bagent is a good football player.
He didn't do anything wrong.
He did nothing wrong. And he does work his absolute ass off.
He grinds his face off.
He grinds his absolute burpee face off. He does that. And he is smart, intelligent, the whole thing, knows the playbook.
Mathematician.
He knows it all. But he is a backup quarterback.
At least for the Bears.
Yeah, I hope Tyson Bagent becomes a starter someday, but he's right now, there's a reason that he is the backup quarterback. Manungai.
We have more coming up here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. There's a big series this weekend in the NL Central, the classic rivalry, Cubs and Cardinals, and Ron Coomer had some really important nuggets, not only about Pete Crow Armstrong, but Kyle Tucker. So we will examine what has become a crucial series for the Cubs. That is next on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.